I always appreciate Brother Matt's ability to pick the right songs, and I do greatly thank him for that. Beautiful day, beautiful morning. Great blessing to be here with God's people. We're happy for your presence. And real quick here, a couple things. We want to thank everyone that helped us get all the food for upcoming food pantry that we're going to do here. And I'm sure details will be out soon on what that's going to consist of, and looking for volunteers to help with that. But we went and got a couple pickup loads of canned food and some other items for the food pantry. So appreciate everyone's help with that. Also, I failed to, and I'm thankful Christy keeps up on this. She reminds me. The Connect Conference. Several folks went. We went over to that last year. It is in it's in Nashville. I'm trying to think of the area. I can't remember the congregation there. It's about 30 minutes away. I remember we ran out of gas on the way back, one of them in the church van. My fault on that. But it's Wednesday through Saturday. And there's classes during the day, during all of that. There is, of course, we have our summer series Thursday, so we won't be there for that. But if you're interested in going to that, I'll get some times. If we get enough folks, maybe we can take the church van over for a couple of those classes, especially for one of the evenings for one of the main lessons that they have. So let me know if you are interested in that. Now, as a preacher that we've talked about recently, I'm commanded to give three types of lessons. All right, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, convince, rebuke, and exhort. We've done a lot of convincing this year with our theme, One Foundation, talking about the that God exists, His truth exists, the Bible's His Word, building on that one foundation, and we've done some rebuking. Right, especially the last two Sunday mornings, those are pretty tough lessons. And so this morning, I want to do some exhorting. Right, there's times when we just need to be exhorted, and that's the purpose of this lesson here this morning. And if you would, open your Bibles to Philippians, the first chapter. The joy of the Lord. The book of Philippians, it's a tremendous study as we think about the topic of joy. And isn't it interesting that there are certain times of the year, I'm thinking mainly the month of December, where it's known as the season of joy, right? Right there leading up to Christmas, that, it's the season of joy. And when I think of that, I think, for something to be in season, it's inferring that there's a time when it's out of season, right? If you're a hunter, you know that makes sense to you, right? There's a hunting season. And then when it's not in season, it's out of season. So is it true that joy is only for a season? Or is there more to it? Is it deeper than that? And I want you to think about the statement that you see here on the screen. And I like us to think about this idea of happiness, right? And I'm not trying to pit happiness against joy. And as a matter of fact, you've probably heard me talk about this, off and on, maybe in Bible classes, talk about the difference between happiness and joy. But I want you to think about happiness for a moment. And I want you to think about the word happiness and how it's how it relates to the word happenings, right? They both have the same root beginning idea and word, if you do a word study on both of those. In other words, happiness is based on the circumstances around you, right? And we all know there's good happenings and bad happenings in our lives. Therefore, there's times when we are happy because of good happenings in our lives. And that's good. That's wonderful. Right? You bag that 12-point buck. Right? If you're a deer hunter. Boy, you're happy, aren't you? You get flooded with emotions. And what do you want to do when something like that happens? Well, you can't wait to tell people. Right? Tell them what happened. Me, one of my happier moments dealing with hunting and fishing was I caught a 10-pound rainbow trout. Well, actually, it was about that big. 10-pound rainbow trout. I had my waders. It was cold and rainy, you know, in the river up to about here, and I fought with this rainbow trout for about 30-plus minutes, and I pulled a boy. I was happy. I had a buddy there. Mark took some pictures, and what's the first thing I do? Well, I'm looking for the first person to tell. Man, I caught a fish this big. And, of course, had some of those pictures develop. Got a big, giant, glossy one. I even got a small one to stick in the wallet. So just in case the topic of fishing came up, what was I going to do? Well, let me show you my fish. Right? And it was a happy moment. I wanted to share that. Right? And we do that. We get happiness and all around us when good things occur. And, you know, your children, your grandchildren, you got pictures of them. You know, you want to show people, show them off, or some great event. You reach some milestone. That's good. That's wonderful. And it makes you happy because of those happenings. And it's absolutely okay to be happy based on good happenings. But the issue comes when we go through bad happenings. Right? And if we're stuck thinking that joy and happiness are the same, and I can't have joy when there's bad happenings, then that's going to affect my faith. I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about the fact that there's good happenings, there's bad happenings. When there's good happenings, be happy. Be thankful for that. Right? So that's the difference between happiness and joy. Joy, on the other hand, is much deeper. Right? It's much deeper. Joy is something that carries us through the best days and the most difficult days. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to say and to remind all of us here that if we are living our life in Christ, there is no season of joy. We can be joyful, we can rejoice at any time and all times, regardless of the happenings in our environment and our circumstances. What a joy it is to be able to remind God's people of that truth. Now, Philippians here, only four chapters long. A little book, I think rightfully called the Book of Cheerfulness or Joy. Now, 16 times in those four chapters, we see the word joy or rejoicing. 50 times, we read about Christ. And in this book of joy, what we're being taught, the correlation, the connection between the two. Between Christ and joy. And we quickly learn also as we read Philippians that Paul wrote this book of joy from prison. And isn't it interesting that he's writing this book of joy from prison, and you see the happenings at the moment in his life were not very good. But it did not affect his deep relationship with the Lord. You know, that relationship that brings great joy. It should bring great joy. Now, I'd like for you to think about the following statement here. You're going to see on the screen. And as we're about to go in our study text here in Philippians chapter 1, and think about this before we read verse 12. That is, joy lives in people who live in Christ. Joy lives in people who live in Christ. Think about that statement, right? And as we're thinking about the difference between happiness and joy, happiness is based on happenings, right? Good happenings in your life, be happy. Joy is something different. Joy is what we get for being in Christ. And so you have that in mind here. I want you to read with me Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. And as we read this here, I want you to think about, you know, it doesn't matter the happenings in your life. It doesn't matter the happenings that are going on right now today in your life. Some of the toughest things you've ever dealt with, you still have joy when there's that connection to Jesus. Now, Paul here writes, let me actually just remind you of this real quick. I think it's important. Think about what's going on in this book. So chapter 1 here, we're going to read in a moment. But he wanted to know how the brethren were doing. Right? And he wanted to know how the gospel was doing to bring him joy. And then in chapter 2, joy in who Christ is and what he does for us. Joy in that example. Then in chapter 3, Paul addresses some false teaching. You can only have joy in truth. And then chapter 4, he begins this chapter here, and it seems like he's dealing with the beginning of a possible division. Two women, chapter 4 and verse 12, Euodia and Syntyche. And he's saying there's no joy in division. Right, and he ends this letter with almost a thank you note, if you will, if you were to read the entire book and take it all the way to the end. And he's really basically, he's saying, thank you for giving your hearts. What a great message. Now, let's go ahead and read verse 12, chapter 1. We got a little context here. Let's consider some things here that we can see about this joy that's related to living a life in Christ. He says, I want you to know, verse 12, see, that's why he's writing to them. He said, I want you to know, brethren, the things which, what does your Bible say? Happened. Talk about the happenings of life. I want you to know the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Read 13 and 14. So that it has become evident to all the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And notice here, he said, the things which happened to me. Now what's interesting, in Scripture many times, great major events are just described in a few words. And so the brevity of his words here are really amazing. He's saying the things that happened to me, you know, the things he's talking about is basically almost a third of the entire book of Acts. Those things, you know. Right? And, you know, all of those things, the beatings, the whippings, being stoned, the persecution, the ridicule, the arrests, the imprisonment, the shipwreck, being bit by a snake, those things. So he's summarizing basically a third of the book of Acts over about a two-year period, all those things. So understand that when you're reading this. Right, and the folks here, the church of Philippi, they knew how tough it had been on him. They knew the things that were going on in his life. And actually, if you do go back to the book of Acts, just think about this. You know, Paul, after going through everything he went through, now he's in Rome. And it wasn't just some happy ending where Caesar said, well, you can go home now, Paul. You know, how does he say that? These things that happened to me, right? So he had over about 2 years of bad things happen to him. Let that sink in. What if you're going through bad things right now and you don't find relief for another 2 years until July of 2025? Maybe you've been going through bad happenings for the past 2 years. And Paul was saying through all of this here, I want to tell you how the gospel has really prospered. The furtherance of the gospel because of these things. You see, Paul's not going to concentrate on the bad happenings. He is going to concentrate on the joy in the Lord. And there's an absolute difference that God's people need to understand. You're going to have good and bad happenings every day. But the joy of the Lord does not have to leave you because of those bad happenings. Matter of fact, you can have joy continuously regardless of your bad happenings. We don't have time, but if you were to read again in Philippians chapter 4, Paul's saying, I know how to rejoice regardless of what's going on. In want and abundance, in poverty and in richness, suffering want and having every need filled. Right? That stuff's all based on happenings, but the joy in the Lord is completely different. And really what he's saying here is he's saying, let me tell you what God is doing in my life regardless of these happenings. Matter of fact, these happenings are good because it's furthering the gospel. Notice at the end of verse 12, again there, when he says the furtherance of the gospel. How is the gospel furthered? And he gives two great examples, basically between there, and we can read back in Acts here, saying, the guards that are keeping me, they know that my chains are in Christ. Now, why is that significant? Now, maybe at first they might have thought, well, this man is here because of the power and the authority of Rome. But they came to realize that all Paul had to do was turn his back on Christ, reject Christ, Jews wouldn't have cared anymore, and he could have left. But he didn't do that, and they're saying, this man's here because of this Jesus. He's willing to go through this because of this Christ that he proclaims. And so the guards came to realize that, and you think about the great influence that Paul had over them. Right? You can actually jump to chapter 4 there in Philippians verse 22. He says, all the saints greet you, especially those where? Especially those in Caesar's household. He had converted some people by his great influence going through these bad happenings because he didn't lose the joy of the Lord in his heart. You want to talk about influence, we'll talk about joy going through bad happenings right here. You know, how does that happen? Well, his joy was in the Lord. I'm sure you couldn't be around Paul very much before you started to learn about Christ. You started to learn about those wonderful blessings that he has in Christ. Listen, if you love your hobby, what are you going to do? We're going to talk about it. If you love your job, what are you going to do? You're going to talk about it. If you love the Lord, what are you going to do? You're going to talk about Him. Right? It's just a natural fruit for the joy in your heart being belonging to Christ. And so Paul here in prison, now, you might say, well, this is going to be a bitter man right here, right? And maybe the prison guards thought that at first. Here's a guy, he's going to be a bitter old man because of his situation. That's not what they found. Right? And where does that kind of joy come from? It comes from an individual saying, let me tell you about the Lord that saved me. Let me tell you, boy, I was lost in sin. I was the chief of sinners. But He saved me when I didn't deserve it. Let me tell you about the Lord that saved me. Let me tell you about the joy that I have. And actually, if you look at verse 14, not only did it affect the palace guards, he says, most brethren in the Lord having become confident, right? Confident by my chains are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Right? In other words, those who are Christians noticed, also those who weren't Christians, but those who are Christians noticed. And it gave them confidence. Listen, joy in the Lord leads to confidence. Not boastful pride, but a godly confidence. And listen, that is contagious. That is contagious. Isn't it wonderful when our faithfulness edifies others? Right? I'm sure we all have a parent, a grandparent, a brother or sister where because of their faithfulness, especially through bad happenings, you know, they didn't lose the joy of the Lord in their heart, that it caused you to be more faithful. And it caused you to be more bold. And it gave you strength and it energized you to express the love of the Lord. Their faithfulness was like Paul to these people here. Right? And now there's people, they're saying, I'm more confident because now I see how beautiful it is. And it is beautiful. When we know a brother or sister that went through a terrible situation, a painful situation, a very bad situation, but they didn't leave the Lord and they kept that joy in their hearts. Or after that painful situation, they realize they need to come back to the Lord. What a great example that they didn't give up. They found that joy in the Lord. And still, I think we're tempted to ask, and we're looking at Paul and all these things that he went through. You know, Paul, you know, what about all those happenings, Paul? I think Paul's going to come back. He's going to say, you know, let me tell you about these happenings. You just stay faithful to God. And what happens is that the joy of the Lord just starts affecting other people. Starts affecting not only non-Christians, but Christians. Right? What a powerful effect the joy of the Lord has on those around us. All right, I want us to think about this next point here. I want you to notice here, he concludes this, and for time's sake, we're going to skip some verses. Verses 15 through 17, he speaks about some that weren't preaching the gospel with the right motives. But notice that his conclusion here in verse 18. Right, read this with the mindset of the furtherance of the gospel. You know, Paul right here, when he's writing this, he doesn't have the liberty to go out and preach the gospel. In this verse, he's having what? Think about this with verse 18. Read it with me. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. That's what we're talking about this morning, the joy of the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. So think about this. You know, as a preacher, I'm thankful that I can preach. And then the question that I have to stop and ask myself is, you know, am I thankful the gospel is being preached elsewhere? Right? Are you thankful that the gospel is being preached in the depth of India? Are you thankful that the gospel is being preached all around us? A couple miles away in either direction. Are you thankful for that? Paul had great joy in that the gospel was being preached. You know, how sad it is if someone says, you know, I kind of get bored when someone preaches. I'm not thankful for when someone preaches. Do you realize that there's more depth to this preaching than just enduring through a sermon? It is part of our worship service. Right? Just as much as giving of your means and singing praises and taking the Lord's Supper and prayer. Because what we're doing is we're sharing the joy of the Lord. We're sharing that connection that it takes to be connected to Christ. Does it bring you joy like Paul? Paul says, let me tell you what brings me joy. I rejoice anytime I hear the gospel being preached. Now, let's take a moment here and think about three things we've learned so far. And then I'm going to make one concluding point after this. So real quick here, three things. Number one, as we've already talked about, there's no badness on this earth that can take away the joy of the Lord in your life. You've got to understand that and believe it. Right? We might hear about a terrible disaster, a horrible crime, a family member, a brother or sister going through a serious illness. None of it can take away the goodness of our Lord, and I need to recognize that as long as I'm alive here on this earth, there's going to be bad happenings. There's going to be good happenings, right? There's going to be happenings that are really good. Some are going to be really bad. But our great joy is not tied to a particular season of the year. It's not tied to a particular happening. Rather, our joy is tied to our Lord. Secondly here, waiting, I need to understand, is part of the faith. Right? What if you went to Paul, I'm thinking Acts 27, as one of many examples. You know, what if you went to Paul the day he was first beaten and thrown into prison? Right, actually, you can back up a little further here in Acts. And can you imagine the wounds and the pain? Right, and if you could ask Paul, you know, Paul, how is anything good going to come out of this? I think Paul would come back and say, I don't know right now. But I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to wait. I can't show you today how good is going to come out of these happenings. Maybe you could have went to Paul when he was shipwrecked, right? Acts 27. Paul, where's the good in this? Where's the furtherance of the gospel in this that you're going through? And he might say, well, I don't see the furtherance of the gospel right now, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be faithful. Right? God knows what he's doing. And I think still we're tempted to ask as we look at all these events in his life, or we think about all the pain and the suffering around us and the things that the brethren are going through, I think we're still tempted to ask, you know, where's the goodness out of this? If you're to ask Paul, I'm pretty sure he would say, I really don't know what the goodness is right now in the moment. Paul, what are you going to do? I know Paul's answer would be, I'm going to stay faithful to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen, during difficult times, during the happenings of life, the only answer that we must give every time is, I'm going to stay faithful to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Why? Well, because that's part of faithfulness. And understand that waiting doesn't mean we sit on our hands and do nothing either. That's a lesson for another time. Right? Even when we don't understand how it's all going to work out. You know, Paul's focus wasn't on himself, was it? Right, his focus, regardless of happenings, was on Christ. Because when I focus on myself, when I look at everything through the perspective that I'm the most important, I'm going to make horrible spiritual decisions. But if I have the perspective that Christ is the most important, I'm going to start making good spiritual decisions. Anytime I see through the lenses of the Lord is the most important, right, he's my priority, living with Christ, loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I'm going to be able to endure the difficult happenings and I won't lose the joy of the Lord in my heart. Pulling strength that is tied back to the Lord, leading to lasting joy. Let me stop for a moment. I really, really hope you're here this evening. For a lesson, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 19 to me, it's kind of an extension of this lesson, but it's very practical how-to stuff. And I got the title of that, Gaining Strength from the Lord. So I really hope you're back this evening for that lesson. Now, look at me here in Philippians chapter 1 and make our closing point here. I think this might be the most important point out of all of this. Read with me chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Now I want you to really think about this. and think about the importance of this statement here. It's interesting to me what he's saying here. He's saying, let me tell you what I've determined in life, that the things that matter the most to me are not temporary. Right? And so if God wants to use my life, I want to magnify Christ with my life. But if God sees that the greater good and His grand purpose and providence can be served by my death, then so be it. I want to magnify Him in my death. What's the point here? The point is, the temporary things were not directing the life of Paul. Being in prison, temporary situation. Beatings, temporary situation. Your job is a temporary situation. Yeah, but preacher, I've been there for 30 years. Trust me, it's temporary. Your house that you spend so much time on is a temporary situation. The money that you have, the clothes that you're wearing, the car that you drive, temporary. Absolutely temporary. You can't point to anything on this earth and say that it's permanent, except the Word of God and your eternal soul. Everything else, temporary. You can't point to a single thing where we can't then turn around and say, trust me, it's temporary. You got the blessing of taking care of it right now, right, of being a good steward for that. Right, so how wise is it then to invest all of our lives in temporary things, neglecting the greater? Now those things, they got to be part of our lives, of course. And so what we do is we invest our lives in the Lord and use everything that He's given us temporarily to honor Him, to magnify Him, to glorify Him. Right? You invest your life in the Lord, you use your hobby to magnify the Lord. You invest your life in the Lord, you use your skills to magnify God. You invest your life in the Lord, you use your income to magnify God. Your hobby, your skills, your job, your income, they're all temporary. How are you using them? And the thing about it is, if we're not using them right, it will steal away the joy of the Lord in our lives. Use what God has allowed you to have temporarily to magnify and glorify Him. Now, I want you to read verse 21 with me. So knowing more of the context, knowing more about what this book is about, this passage we've all read probably 1,000 times, now it makes sense. Or it ought to. Right? For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a very bold statement. As long as I live upon the earth, the cause of Christ is going to be lifted up in my life because I'm going to lift it up. And when it comes time to die, then I'm going to have victory in the Lord because I trust God that much. What a beautiful, powerful way to view life and to view death. I want you to think about that there in verse 21. This is one of the greatest purpose statements in the entire Bible. This is why so many people in our day and age, in our culture, our society, they struggle with so many different things. A feeling of being lost, anxiety, depression, they just don't know their purpose. And they're just kind of going through life without a sense of purpose. When we know that our purpose is to fear God, keep His commandments, now I can live a life magnifying Him, and I can have a death that magnifies Him. One of the greatest purpose statements of the entire Bible. Right? When you can understand that, you have found the purpose that God has given you in your life. All right, let's go ahead and finish up. So what did I learn this morning? Number one, happiness is tied to circumstance, but joy is tied to Christ. Number two, when my purpose is tied to Christ, life is fulfilling and dying is victorious, and both are joyful. And number three, joy isn't found in searching for joy, but rather it is the fruit of living in Christ. I don't think there's many more profound statements than number three that you see on the screen. You hear people always searching for joy? You're not going to find joy at the end of a rainbow or something. Real joy is living in Christ. It's a fruit. It's a product of living in Christ. Now, we're going to go through many good and bad happenings, and there's going to be times where we're going to be happy because things are going great. Right? But real joy can only be found living in Christ. Number four, joy is made up of faithful waiting. Faithful waiting. If we can't wait faithfully through difficult times, we will not find joy. Number five, joy is destroyed by focusing on the temporary. And then finally, there's no season of joy for Christians. You can have joy if you are in Christ. And you could be going through the worst possible happenings ever. Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he's talking about heaven. He said, one moment in glory. What I'm going through right now will not be worthy to compare for one moment in glory. You can go through the worst happenings a human could possibly go through. You still have joy this side of eternity, but the reward, one moment in glory, will be worth it all. You know, Christ, you know, I hope that you're built up this very day and you realize that as Christians, how much we have to be joyful about. A lot of happenings can be discouraging. But even Jesus on this earth, he was described as what? Well, the man of sorrows. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, yet for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Can you see the difference between joy and happiness? You know, we need to understand that we will have difficult days on this earth, but we should never let that take away our joy in the Lord. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, understand you are not in Christ, so you haven't truly experienced joy, real godly joy. Now, you can have happiness. You can have a feeling of emotions, of feeling good lots of times in your life. But all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. One of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ is joy. So what you need to do this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, is to get into Christ. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says you need to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, baptism, immersion. You can do that because you believe that he is who he says he is. John 8 and verse 24. You're willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You're willing to confess him before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Then the journey begins. And as John tells us in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. We are never promised continual happiness, continual good happenings, but we are promised continuous joy. And that's part of the journey. So if you need to obey the gospel, we'd love to help you with that. Or if you've done that, maybe you lost the joy of the Lord in your heart and you pulled away from the Lord. And it's time to be reconciled. Let us help you with that. If you have a spiritual need this morning, please don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand and sing.